Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
So this should go to show us that even though our Lord is a merciful God, He's a long-suffering God, there comes a point where He may give you over to your unbelief. And so that appears to be what's happening here in Bethsaida. But look how He healed him. That's so interesting. And when He had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Well, here we see this method that Jesus uses of healing this blind man. He begins by spitting on his eyes. So we're going to see this unfold in steps. First, he takes him by the hand, leads him out of the city. Then he spits on his eyes. Then he puts his hands on him. That's what the Bible says. Put his hands upon him. And then he asked him, with his own words, he asked the man if he can see aught. In other words, can you see anything? That's what he's saying. Can you see anything? Last week when we looked at Jesus healing that deaf and dumb man, he did some peculiar things. He spit and out his fingers and grabbed the man's tongue and he put his finger in his ear to show him that he was healing him that way. But this is different. In the other instances of Jesus healing blind men, I want to give you some of those. Over in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus heals two blind men at one time by touching their eyes. Matthew 9 and 27 through 31. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." So no spit was involved right there. It was simply Jesus touching them and speaking. And we see he indicates it was because of their faith that they were healed. Over in Matthew chapter 20, Jesus heals two other blind men over in Jericho. And he does it, once again, just simply by touching their eyes. Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. And when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." Again, no spitting, nothing out of the ordinary. He simply asked them a question, want to know what is it you'd like me to do for you? And I've preached about that before. That's kind of an odd question to a blind man. What do you want me to do for you? Certainly I want you to heal my eyes. And that's what they said, that our eyes may be opened. But Jesus wants to understand why they came there. And so he heals them just by touching their eyes. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man that had been born blind. John 9, 1 through 7. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, in this man's case, Jesus uses, again, spit, saliva. He spits on the ground first and puts it in the clay or mud and makes clay a clay ball out of him and sticks them in the man's eyes. But he not only does that, he sends the man to the pool of Siloam to wash in it before he receives his sight. So in that man's case, there's a twofold process of what he's doing. And I believe in that man's case, Jesus is testing his faith. He's seeing what kind of faith this man has by him doing this. This man could have, you know, could have rebelled and said, that's ridiculous. I've been in that pool 100 times. It's never done anything for me. But he didn't. He went and he washed and he came back seeing. But here in Mark chapter 8, Jesus spits on this man's eyes. That's what the Bible says. And he touches him, and then he even asks him if he could see. And we find something very peculiar. Look at it there in verse 24, what the man said. Verse 24, Mark chapter 8. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. If I'm not mistaken, this is the only instance that we find where Jesus heals somebody partially. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think I'm mistaken here. Where he heals somebody partially. The man can see now a little bit, but it's real fuzzy. He could recognize men that were walking around, but to him they were just outlines. They were just like stick men, like trees. He said that's all he could think of what they looked like. It looks kind of like trees walking around out there. You know, so he can't see clearly yet. It's as if he's looking through a glass darkly. This particular blind man seems to be different from all the other blind men that we just read about in the other Gospels. These other blind men are coming to him seeking to be healed. It seems that they are expecting a healing. It seems that they're searching and going out of their way to be healed by him. But this man was brought, we never see any indication that he asked to be healed, that he had any kind of faith in Jesus to be healed, that he even wanted to be healed, but somebody brought him to him. And so it doesn't seem like there's any motivation for this man as there was the other men. There's no sense of urgency there. You would think that being blind and finding out there was a man here that heals blind men, you would have been so excited, there'd been some sense of urgency there. The two men from Jericho, remember what they cried out, have mercy on us. And they even called him by his messianic name, thou son of David. And the other two men that we read in Gospel of Matthew, they called him that too, thou son of David. They were recognizing him as the Messiah, but not this man. And so you may think, well, I believe you're just reading too much into that. Well, I don't think so. Look what happens next. Look at verse 25. Mark chapter 8, verse 25. After that, he, meaning Jesus, put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And so there was a twofold process in this particular miracle of healing. And as you know, I like to dig for gold. Not real gold, but gold from the Bible. Nuggets down in God's Word. And when I was looking at this particular event, this healing, I couldn't help but recognize some things that were jumping out at me, that what might be the underlying theme or the underlying truth behind this healing of this blind man. The Gospel of John starts out this way. John 1, 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, before Jesus comes along, and the Father draws you, and the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, you're a lost sinner, and you receive Christ as your Savior, before all that happens, you, my friend, are in total darkness. You are living in a world of blackness, of darkness. And when Jesus came to this world, that's how everybody was. They were living in darkness. And the Bible says they comprehended it not. He came into the world as light, the light of truth. And they did not comprehend the light of truth. Now, like I said, if you're lost, you're a sinner, you're in darkness, and you're blind to the things of God. The sinner out here in this world today, the unsaved, the atheists, the agnostics, all these people that do not know Christ as their Savior, they are blind to the things of God. They may recognize that a God on some level. They may understand that a God spoke the world into existence, if they believe that. They may understand that there was a creator behind all these things we have in this world. But they are blind to the truths of God. They're blind to the truths of the gospel. They're blind to the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in darkness. And so when Jesus comes along, He is the light. And that light begins bringing light into your life. The text said they bring a blind man unto Him. They brought a blind man unto Him. They did it. He was not seeking after God. No man seeks after God. And so they brought him, those that had some kind of faith in Christ, brought him to Jesus. Now, as a Christian, we know this world is not seeking after God. This world, the lost sinners of this world, are not seeking after the truth of Christ. They think it's a fairy tale. They think we're all crazies. They, you know, whatever they think. But they're not seeking for Christ in their life. And we know that. The Bible tells us this. And so it is up to us to be like these people in Bethsaida that bring them to Christ. We have to push them toward the light. So that's what we're doing. When you share the gospel with somebody, when you invite them to church, when you give them a Bible tract, whatever it may be, what you're doing is you're pushing them closer to the light. You see, they're in darkness. And the closer they can get to Jesus, if they can just hear the words of Christ, if they can hear the words of God from the Bible, then that darkness starts breaking loose. And then it's like, kind of like Paul, Saul of Tarsus, when those scales started falling off his eyes. When those scales start falling off that sinner's eyes, then the light begins getting into them, and they have this understanding. The Holy Spirit starts convicting them. And that Holy Spirit brings them that light, and they start seeing better. This man that was blind, he looks up that first time, and it's dark. It's still kind of dark. It's fuzzy. He can't make it out. He's looking through a glass dimly, or darkly. And then Christ, again, the more Christ that he got, Jesus touched him again, the Bible said, and made him look up and up. And the more the light of Christ got to him, the better he could see. And by the time it was over with, he could see clearly. And so when that lost sinner comes to the knowledge and faith in Christ and he gets saved, then he can see clearly. They think that our Bible is a fairy tale or some kind of book of fiction, but it's because they can't understand it. They cannot discern the things of God. The lost cannot, because they are in darkness. So the world doesn't always respond the way that we want them to. They usually don't. If they're kind enough, they'll say thank you and no thanks, you know. But most of the world will still reject you. You go and they don't want to hear it. But that one little bit of glimpse of light may be just the thing that they need to get it all started. And when they get exposed to that light and they start falling under conviction, and then they start thinking about the things of God. This blind man was barely making out the details until he got more of Jesus. And so, for him, getting a glimpse of the light began shedding those scales. Now, while our text does not state that his faith increased, it doesn't state that, I can't help but believe this man, the more he was with Jesus, the greater his faith became in him. Look at verse 26. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Once again, we find something very peculiar. Well, I guess it's not that peculiar. We see Jesus doing this quite often now. Of forbidding him to go around telling about this. But I want you to know something different about this time he says it. This time he specifically mentions him not telling it to anybody in that town. Do you see that? Neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town, meaning Bethsaida.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.